afternoon and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today as we are each Sunday at noon with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com.
Start again.
Now? Oh, start again. All right. Even if you don't want to send us an email, thanks, Karen, you should still send us, still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com where you could listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our free seminars, the next one coming up this Thursday night. You can see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites. You can link to our Facebook page. You can automatically link to our Orlando Sentinel blog. And perhaps the best thing is you can join our email list and then get copies of our newsletters and other announcements each week about the show. And of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and prick our brains off the air, call Glazer & Associates at 855 the number 4 Condo Craze. Again, that's 855 the number 4 Condo Craze. And the firm's website is www.condo-laws.com. Again, condo-laws.com. And finally, again, thank you to so many of you for supporting the Community Association Member Party this year. As you know, another legislative session came to a close with no help for Floridians in a community association, but we'll certainly try again next year to get some new legislation passed and to find out more about how you can get involved and demand long overdue changes to both the condo and HOA statutes. Again, visit www.camp2012.net. But there actually was some great news over the weekend.
Yeah.
I know you guys heard about it. Great, great news. As of yesterday, lots of new laws. When a bank takes back units at a foreclosure now, they now owe everything, costs, interest, attorney's fees, everything that was owed
to
the association. They owe everything at all. HOA owners, by the way, you're now regulated by the DBPR. And you have to get certified just like your condo brethren do. And you got to pay the $4 per unit. We got all the regulation you want, all the education you want. The banks now have to pay everything. And if you believe all of that,
no!
April Fools.
You did not.
Yeah, none of that, of course. That would never happen. Far too unrealistic to believe any of that.
So, how was the PM Expo event in Punta Gorda this week?
What a great event. Punta Gorda is really, really nice. And we had a packed house for our board certification course, and everybody really seemed to enjoy it. Not only was there our course, you had other courses by Mitch Drimmer. You had debates between Jan Bergman and counsel for Becker and Polyakov, and John Goad's office, I know, on the West Coast regarding House Bill 319, and Mark Benson, who's a community association manager on the West Coast that listens to our show and a true gentleman. Thank you, Mark. And everybody did a great, great, wonderful job. It was a really, really interesting event and a very educational event. PM Expo always does a great job. And I don't know about you guys, but the more time I spend on Florida's West Coast, I seem to just enjoy it more and more. And thank you not only to everybody who attended the course, but to so many of you who actually on the West Coast that say they listen to the show over there. And in fact, one woman said that she listens to us all the time in St. Louis.
Wow, St. Louis, Missouri?
So
yes,
on the web.
Believe it or not, yeah.
Wow. Well, we need to tell everyone that their time is just about up here on Florida's East Coast to attend our seminar here in Hollywood.
Yeah, by the way, when I told Scott that the person in St. Louis listens to our show, he was very impressed that we're now an international show. He doesn't get it. Yeah, good job, yeah, Scott. Yeah, you're right, Scott. Absolutely correct. Board members in a condominium, you have to get certified within 90 days of getting elected to your board, or you are suspended. And one way to get certified is by taking our Condo Craze Board Member Certification course. And again, as Scott mentioned, our only scheduled course remaining at this time is in Hollywood, and it is this Thursday night at the Hard Rock Hotel at 7 o'clock p.m., and there are literally only a few seats left.
So to all you new board members out there that got elected for 2012, that 90-day clock is getting ticking, so you know you need to get certified pretty darn soon. Come out and learn about your fiduciary duties with us. We can learn about how to do budgets, reserve funding, how to notice and conduct meetings, learn about your governing documents and how they're applied, all the new laws that got passed recently, and whether or not any of these new laws even apply to your community. There's always good food and drink, and hey, it's free.
Right. These courses are always free. And again, thanks to the callers who compliment us on the seminar. And again, we are honored to serve as the law firm to so many of you, but even more proud of that. Now, 2,400 of you actually have chosen us to be your teachers at these seminars. And again, if actually anybody wants to see photos of the seminars, just go to Facebook and do a search for Condo Craze and HOAs. Lots and lots of pictures pop up on the site, and click the like button to become a fan of the show. And again, if you want to register for any for this seminar this Thursday night, just go to our show's website, www.condocrazeandhoas.com. Again, condocrazeandhoas.com. Just fill out the form, and Brian, our office manager, will send you back email confirmation that you are, in fact, registered. Again, the time is ticking, especially if your elections were in January and February.
Exactly. And how about reminding everyone that people can get certified in smaller private seminars,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, that's right, Karen. And as we've done many, many times now, we can actually have a private seminar for your board. It's a fantastic opportunity to not only get certified, but a great time to talk about what your association wants and demands from your law firm in the year ahead. And again, the Glazer & Associates does that free of charge.
Free.
Absolutely.
Last show, we had as our guests Mitch Drimmer and Alex Moskowitz from Association Financial Services, and they gave us their take on why House Bill 319, or as some referred to it as another bank bailout bill, failed to get passed by the Florida legislature, and why they believe that that was a great thing for the residents living in community associations across Florida. But no matter where you stand in that debate, it certainly looks like the foreclosure crisis is here to stay for a while, and in fact, it is picking up steam.
Yeah, and along those same lines, Karen, the Palm Beach Post reported 2 weeks ago, believe it or not, that Florida has, you ready for this, one-fourth. There are 50 states,
wow,
but Florida has one-fourth of the nation's foreclosures. And, of course, the banks say that it's because Florida's foreclosure system is actually a broken system, because it's a judicial system that requires the courts to get involved in the foreclosure situation, unlike, let's say, in California, which is actually one of 29 states where repossessing a home doesn't have to go through the court system. Right.
Interesting. According to that article, about 14% of Florida homes are in foreclosure, which is by far the highest in the nation. New Jersey is next at 8.2%. There's no state even close to Florida.
Yeah, but despite the fact that the pace of the foreclosures go from slow to slower around here, what was being dubbed recently as the quickie foreclosure bill also died in the Florida legislature 2 weeks ago. So at least for another year, foreclosures are going to be slowly working their way through the courts. But Representative Pasadomo, who originally presented the bill, she believes that next year the bill will most likely pass.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Absolutely.
Well, while we're at it, let's talk about some more bad news on the foreclosure front. Despite the fact that there is simply a staggering number of homes in the foreclosure process here in Florida, our clerks of the court are bracing for a budget cut of 7% from the Florida legislature.
Yeah, the clerks are even talking about the shortening operating hours and closing many branches here. And they're estimating that in Miami-Dade, layoffs can get as high as 175 people, 65 in Broward, and 55 employees in Palm Beach County. And if this happens, I got to tell you, if you thought the pace of the foreclosure process was slow before, just wait, because it's really going to come to a snail's pace if these budget cuts go through. How about we take our first call? Let's go to Michael. How are you, Michael?
Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Michael, you there? Okay, let's, instead of Michael, let's go with Walter. How are you, Walter? Walter, are you there?
I have a question about, can the board of directors in the condo close the pool to children under 12 years old at 8 o'clock?
If they're unaccompanied by an adult?
Well, they have an adult. The parents is there.
Okay, so this rule would just close the pool to children regardless of whether or not they're accompanied by an adult?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about that, Scott? Doesn't seem too reasonable for me.
No, it doesn't seem reasonable if there's an adult present that's supervising the children. If they just wanted to close it to unsupervised children at 8 o'clock, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But
right.
If they're supervised, there's something not kosher about that.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Right. I mean, like Scott said, it wouldn't bother me. If it was unsupervised children, that might be a reasonable rule. But I don't think it would be considered reasonable to say, even if they're... If they're with their parents, that they can't use the pool. Doesn't sound reasonable to me, Walter.
But, if the board wanted to actually close the pool to everyone at 8 o'clock, you could actually make more of a defense of that than just specifically children.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call there, Walter. Hey, getting back to what's going on with the clerk's office, listen to what Sharon Bach said, and she is the clerk of court for Palm Beach County, and she's quoted as saying, legislators are cutting direct services to the public that will have an economic ripple effect through this entire state while approving millions of dollars to create a 12th state university in Lakeland or on projects such as a sailing regatta in Sarasota or a Bay of Pigs museum in Miami. And I got to tell you, I think Sharon Bach is right, and we're going to see if we can get her as a guest on the show. And it's not like we also didn't use taxpayer money, by the way, in Dade County to build a new publicly funded stadium for the Marlins with virtually no parking. The place is like one-third full, and already people are complaining that they're never going to go back there because of the lack of parking. And I got to tell you, I swear it's amazing. Government is really something.
And never going to go back there. Isn't the first exhibition game there today?
Yeah, it's actually today's. Today's the first exhibition game.
Yeah, so who's complaining?
There was an article in the paper last week that people were complaining already about the parking. But what's amazing is that if a store owner in the same area, let's say, where the stadium's built, if he wanted to open up a new shoe repair business, this guy would have inspectors from the county and city crawling all over and making sure that there was enough parking and handicap parking, for the three people that may want to get their shoes repaired. But somehow, the Marlins are able to build a stadium that seats nearly 40,000 people with parking space for 6,000 cars.
We were going to the Orange Bowl for 60 years without parking.
Amazing. How baseball let them get away with that, I have no idea. But let's do this. Let's take our first break. We're taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. And when we get back, we're going to give you an unbelievable update into the absolutely massive HOA election and construction kickback case in Las Vegas. It's starting to turn into a script for Hollywood. I can tell you, we're going to give you an amazing update on the person who exposed a robo-signing scandal and uncovered Linda Green and how she was handsomely rewarded for her hard work. And, of course, we'll take your calls on everything and anything else in the condo and HOA world. Just give us a call here, 877-850-8585, and we'll be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't
Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. We have a little bit of a new board up, so no problem. And we are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro, and we've got some Hollywood stuff going on with this Vegas deal.
Oh, you are not kidding. I'll tell you what, Karen, before we go to that, how about let's take, I think Michael actually called back.
Oh, good.
He got disconnected. How are you, Michael?
Thank you. I have a question about condo insurance. We've had a condo. This is going into our third year. I don't really want to get personal condo insurance, but I was told by law I had to a couple of years ago. Is that still the case?
When you say condo insurance, are you saying that you're an owner in a condominium unit?
Yes.
Yeah, no, you do not have to get insurance for your unit if you don't want to. Actually, there was a statute that was in effect about a year and a half ago that allowed the condo association to ask you for proof of insurance for your unit, and if you couldn't provide it to them, the condo was able to actually force place insurance on your unit for you, and that, I think, survived 1 year in the legislature and then was repealed. So, no, absolutely, the condo can't make you do it unless there's some clause in your declaration of condominium which would require you to purchase it, but I doubt it exists. Okay.
When was that rescinded?
That was rescinded, I think, 2010, July 1. Okay?
Now, do we have time for another question?
Sure, go right ahead, Mike.
No, actually, I won't be greedy. that's very helpful to me, and I appreciate it. So that's for sure then. I don't, even if the condo president tells me I need it, I don't need it.
That's correct, sir. Again, unless there's a provision in the documents that requires it, and I doubt there is.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it.
Thank you.
Okay, how about we go to Richard?
Hi, how are you? My agents for our insurance, our wind insurance for our condominium, they canceled our policy, and that was due to one of their employees had quit his job, and he continued to not do his job, actually, by sending out the notices to the condominiums that that the amount of money was due. He just left his job. Now, there's actually, can we go after, because what happened was they sent out an adjuster, because we do need wind insurance now, and our insurance went up $300, plus we have to pay for the adjuster to come out here. Now it was $1,000, and that's the first part of my question, and the second leads into it also.
You're saying that the agency didn't properly let you know that your insurance was going to renew?
And correct.
Right. So because of that, you suffered $1,300 in damages.
Correct.
Well, again, I don't think probably not
damages, but there's no damages, but they're increasing our yearly payment
simply because you weren't notified in time.
Exactly. Oh, and that's the second part. We have a two-man board, and which is there should be three, and the problem is, we don't know if one of the board directors actually received a notice that the insurance was due and did not make the payment. Would that leave
Let me put it this way. How long are you at your agency? Because to me it seems like it's an agency situation. And if your agency kind of screwed up because they dropped the ball when the agent left, and as a result it wind up costing you $1,300, probably something that the agency should be able to help you out, and maybe they eat some of their commission and make things right for you. Okay? Instead of turning it into a federal case where you're talking about suing people. People are fast to sue today, Scott.
What is it
with people? Yeah. Damn lawyers. Anyway, that's what I would do. I'd look at it as a business decision and see if it can be worked out again between you and the agent. On that note, how about we go to Elizabeth?
Hi there. Is it necessary for invoices from the Homeowners Association's board attorney to state time and charges before those invoices are the amount due is paid?
In other words, you're asking me, should attorneys' invoices be detailed and actually say what the attorney did in order to get paid?
Yes, and the amount of time and the charge.
I don't know. Scott, suppose we sent out a bill that just said, legal work, $5,000.
Well, do you think anybody would pay it? I mean,
some
of your bills are less than detailed, but usually everybody at our firm sends out some pretty detailed bills. And the fact of the matter is, first of all, it all depends upon the agreement you have worked out with your attorney. Second of all, the bar does mandate, I believe, that you have to specify with some particularity what your bills are.
Yeah.
But,
generally speaking, a bill should be detailed. I don't know if it has to specifically state the attorney's mental thoughts and impressions, naturally, but it should certainly detail what documents he drafted, if he drafted documents, who he spoke to on certain telephone calls, if he's billing for certain telephone calls. There should certainly be a minimum amount of information on the bill so that the client can take a look and actually see what they're paying for. Make sense?
Thank you. May I ask one more question?
Sure.
Okay, this is a question is a question about a possible conflict of interest. Our HOA board has hired a law firm that 6 years ago represented a homeowner in our HOA who is now a board member in his lawsuit against our HOA. And currently that law firm, I believe, is still representing that homeowner in that homeowner's personal and business legal matters.
Yeah.
Does that represent a conflict of interest?
No, not necessarily. Absolutely not. I don't think necessarily. Just because an attorney sued somebody before. What you're saying is the attorney sued somebody before, and now that they want to represent that person being sued now wants that attorney to represent them.
But I think Elizabeth just stated that they're still representing him in that action.
In separate actions. He's not suing the association.
The law firm sued the association.
Right, but
they now represent.
I know, but they're not suing the association any longer, right?
No, correct.
Right.
Correct,
so it's
correct.
So it's not a big deal. As a matter of fact, attorneys look at that as a form of flattery. You know, it's nice when an attorney sues somebody and beats up the other side, and then the other side says, you know what, I need that guy next time. Instead of him suing me, I'd rather have him on my team. And that's, again, we look at that as a form of flattery. And I hope that answers your question, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the phone call. All right, getting back to what we were talking about before we went to the break and what's happening to our clerk's offices, I can tell you some good news is that the legislature did allocate $4 million to hire some retired senior judges and case managers to help move foreclosure cases along. And this is coming about because of a huge projected increase in the actual number of foreclosure cases that are going to be filed. And in fact, in Palm Beach County, foreclosure filings soared 52% in January of 2012 as compared to January of 2011, believe it or not.
So apparently there's no longer any self-imposed moratorium on the banks.
Yeah, that's what it's starting to look like, Karen. So again, it's a real bad time to be taking away money from the local clerk's offices. But of course, the caseload for the judges is absolutely astounding. In fact, there was a great article about a few weeks ago in the Orlando Sentinel about one judge in Seminole County who scheduled 300, that's again, 300 foreclosure cases over a three-day period. And he estimated that if everybody showed up, he would have had about 30 seconds per case to decide it. And the article talks about one specific day where the judge actually heard 125 foreclosure cases an hour throughout the entire day.
Yeah, well, the fact of the matter is, Eric, you know as well as I do, most of the time the people don't show up. So
right.
I'm sure substantially more time went to each case than 30 seconds.
Right, exactly.
You know, I'm kind of bored talking about foreclosures, Eric. Yes. Is there any way we can talk about something else, something that might, you know, uplift the spirits of our listeners anyway?
Yeah, great idea, Scott. I'm all for that. All right, no more foreclosures. How about this? We talk about now, for the third month in a row, the number of residents filing for bankruptcy in Palm Beach County is way up.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't have to directly do with foreclosures.
Well, actually, the experts say that bankruptcy's up because of the spike in foreclosures in Palm Beach County, believe it or not. And they expect that this trend is going to continue.
I think at this point, even if we spoke about the cost of a gallon of gas, would only cheer everyone up.
Yeah, $4 on the nose right now.
I've been paying $4.29 for diesel.
Unbelievable. All right, let's do this. Let's take now our second break. And again, finally, when we get back, we will give you that amazing update into the massive HOA election and construction kickback case in Vegas. We'll talk to you about the person who exposed Linda Green in the bank's robo-signing scandal, and we'll take all your calls regarding your HOA and condo issues. Give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We are taking your calls at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. If you're on the phone, hold on. We'll get to you. We do want to talk about. We can be friends.
Today.
Not too friendly in Vegas.
They get the point, right? All right. One of those days. It's April Fool's. We just got to deal with it and roll. Okay. How about this? If our listeners remember, we keep reporting on a massive fraud case being prosecuted by the Department of Justice taking place in Las Vegas involving homeowner association board members who got on the board by having attorneys and managers help rig board elections and then start construction defect lawsuits by attorneys who also helped participate in the scheme.
Yeah, these newspapers in Vegas make it clear that while about five people have already pled guilty, there is expected to be a long line of deals in this far-reaching case, and all the defendants who have already pled guilty have agreements to testify and a push by prosecutors to indict higher-level players. That includes lawyers, judges, and former police, the paper says.
But it looks like by the time the massive case goes to trial, there may not be anyone around to testify.
Yeah, you're not kidding, Karen. Really, no joke. Two of the attorneys allegedly involved in this grand scheme have apparently each committed suicide in the past 2 weeks.
Huh.
And it's amazing that when you read the comments in the newspapers from the readers and the locals in the community in Las Vegas, so many of them write in and say that you have to be completely naive to believe for one moment that these are suicides and these aren't planned, you know, hits and murders, so that when this case finally gets to trial, there's simply not enough witnesses around to prove the case. And they keep writing, like, things that this happens in Vegas all the time.
Yeah, ever since Mo Green started it to as a stopover from GIs on their way to the coast.
That's right. Good old Mo. Shot through the eye. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, in fact, another police officer who was investigated in this case committed suicide, and a board member caught up in the mess suddenly died of a drug overdose. And believe it or not, a defendant who took a guilty plea and is expected to testify was discovered badly beaten in his community. And the police say all of this simply has nothing to do with the ongoing criminal investigation.
Doesn't stink.
Yeah, but they're also reporting that your odds of winning at the blackjack table in Vegas are now at least over 80% in your favor. But I'm not buying that either. So, you can't believe what comes out of Vegas.
I see that one defense attorney in the case is saying that these deaths are generating a growing sense of anxiety among those named in the case, specifically saying that, quote, some of the witnesses are extremely concerned about their well-being and safety. People are dying here.
Yeah, well, this case, again, is just starting to heat up. And as the news comes in, we promise to keep passing it along. So just stay tuned. And on that note, how about we go to Kevin? How are you, Kevin?
I'm good. How are you, gentlemen, lady?
Okay, how can we help you,
Kevin? Good afternoon. Question for you. As a board member of an association, an HO, an homeowners association, is it a conflict of interest if your family member works in the office?
Is it a conflict if you're a board member and a family member works in the office? Okay, as a board member, are you getting any monies whatsoever as a result of your family working there?
No. Well, the family member is being paid.
Right, but does that board member...
The president...
Okay, does that board member have any financial interest in it whatsoever?
Well, that I don't know.
Okay, because, well, the reason I ask you is because there's differences in the ways it perhaps may be treated, and I'll tell you why. In the condominium statute, a board, and we teach this at the certification course, a condominium association can, in fact, hire a company that a director has a financial interest in. There's nothing illegal about it. However, you have to jump through certain hoops. For example, that relationship has to be disclosed at that board meeting. And the person who obviously has that financial interest can't take part in the vote. And the two-thirds of the other directors have to vote in favor of the contract. And at the next meeting, that contract can be canceled by the unit owners. So, you know, again, it all depends upon whether or not this is a condo, whether or not it's an HOA, because the HOA statute is silent in this regard. And it depends whether or not that director has a very specific financial interest in the funds being paid to the person in the office, to his relative. So, again,
well,
it could be very fact-specific.
In this case, it's an HOA, okay?
Right. Okay.
The president's mother is the second, is the office the office personnel.
Okay.
And I would want to assume the president is the one who has to pay her.
Okay. Bottom line, so it's his mother. He shouldn't be voting on the issue. I think there's a clear, you know, conflict of interest in terms of him voting on the issue, but it doesn't mean that she's not qualified to handle the job. It could be, you know, absolutely nothing wrong with the fact that she's there. But again, if I'm the president, I'm not voting. You know, you can't vote for your mom to have the job. That would be a clear conflict, and you should have abstained from it. But those same rules that I just spoke to you about do not apply in the HOA setting. That's only in the condo statute for now. Okay?
Okay, but the next question, if you don't mind. In reference to the services that is employed by the association, shouldn't this be something to be revised, the contracts like the landscaper, the pool guy? Shouldn't these be on a contract and should be revised, and the unit owner should have a major say in whosoever get it?
No, unit owner shouldn't have a major say. The board makes these decisions on what vendors are to be used and what vendors aren't to be used. If you're telling me that there are that there are agreements that exist between the association and certain providers to the community that are not in writing, I think that's a bad thing to do. I think there should always be some sort of contractual arrangement that spells out the responsibilities of your vendors, spells out what the terms are, spells out what the payment terms are, spells out what the start and completion dates are, spells out what the financial terms are. That should certainly be in writing, and if it's not there, it opens the association up for potential liability. If that's what you're asking, make sure all of your contracts with your vendors are clear.
Right. Next question. This is the last question, I promise. In reference to the monthly statement or the quarterly statement, I am asking for the association for breakdowns. They are throwing figures at me, telling me like $30,000, for an example, $30,000 is spent on the lawn, or $30,000 were done this. And I'm saying this is all figures. Shouldn't we as the unit owner know if each and every individual is paying their maintenance, including the president?
All right. Then I'm going to answer your question, Kevin, and then wrap it up. But yes, as a unit owner in both a condo and an HOA, you have the right. And again, another thing we teach at the course, you can go in right now with a written request to your manager or whoever's in charge of your documents and say, I want to see the accounting ledgers for all of the board members that serve on your board of directors. I don't believe they're paying their assessments. You could walk in and absolutely 100% ask for it. Okay? All right, time to go in to our final break of the hour. 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. And we'll take your calls when we get back right after this.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on the Big Talk 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro, and we are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Let's go to Joanne, who's on the phone now. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I have a question for Mr. Glazer, please.
Sure. How can we help you, Joanne?
Yeah. Can a board of directors change the use of common area without the vote of the unit owners?
That was exactly supposed to be a very lengthy topic that we were going to discuss on the show today. The bottom line is, and I don't think we're going to be able to get to all of it this week, that's for sure. Bottom line is, if it's a material alteration to the common elements, where you're basically changing the appearance and the function of what you're doing, it would probably require a unit owner vote and probably require a three-quarters vote. Now, the difference to that is, or the exception to that is, I should say, is if something falls into a repair category. In certain situations, a board would...
No, that's not what I'm asking. Can they change a card room into a gym without... the vote of the unit owners?
No, absolutely not. Not without a vote of the unit owners. That would, in fact, be considered a material change. And it's funny because we had planned on today going through a whole bunch of different examples in that regards, Joanne. And if we don't get to it today, we're certainly going to get to it next week. But again, if I was working for your board, I would tell you to know that that cannot, absolutely cannot be done without a unit owner vote. Okay?
Is there any reference in the state statute regarding that?
Yeah, that's materials change statute is 718. I don't remember. I think it's either 111 or 112. I'm not sure, but I would get back to you on that, Joanne, okay? But absolutely, it's called a material change, and it can't be done without a vote of the unit owners or as otherwise provided for in your declaration. And the declarations, again, normally require a three-quarters vote. But stay tuned. Listen this week and next because we're going to be talking a lot about that, as a matter of fact. Right, and on that note, how about we go to Edith?
Hi, Mr. Glazer.
How are you? Okay, how can I help you, Edith?
Yes, please. I live in a condo in Tamarack. Okay, anyway, I have a lot of problems here. I had a problem with one of the neighbors stalking me and taking pictures at me for 5 years. I ended up in the hospital. I had the police after him anyway. And I'm afraid he's going to come back and start up trouble. The association didn't think about it until he ended up in the hospital, and he went away for a while. I hope he doesn't come. I hope he might come back, and I don't want to start any trouble. I have another neighbor that he's stalking me, too. And not only that, I have Because of that, I parked my car in the guest parking near my building in the front. And in fact, a member of the board named Greet, okay, he can't get names, but okay, but a member, a man, he keeps screaming at me and yelling at me and threatening me. He said, he came at me the other day and he says, anybody can park in the guest parking. Well, it is a guest parking, so I park in the guest parking. Because, you know, I've been doing it. And he says, and then he comes at me, you better move it, otherwise I'm going to tow the car. And he threatens me with towing the car, and the office is threatening with the police. I mean, I am being harassed left and right over here.
Okay.
Now, what can be done?
You know, people ask me how I do what I do every day. You know, it's funny. I just tell them somebody's got to do it, right? Okay.
But can she park in the guest parking space?
I don't know.
Behind me where I live, behind my building is guest parking. Well, I have these two neighbors stalking me and parking their cars.
All right, let's do this. I don't think, we needed to
calm
Edith down because she was not going to calm down. But the bottom line is occasionally in a condominium association, and only occasionally and rarely do we have situations where neighbors don't get along with each other, and sometimes it may even get violent. And that's what they make the courts for. You know, people can go out and get restraining orders against acts of violence or repeated acts of violence. Those things exist.
Yes. So,
and
Edith, if you're still listening, there are a number of different ways you can get relief through the court system. If there are acts of violence being committed against you, obviously there are restraining orders that the courts can give for repeat violence. And if you truly feel that there are someone stalking you, the Florida statute also provides for injunctions, which are exactly that, restraining orders against people who are either stalking you. And also Florida Statute 718-303, the Condominium Act, allows you to sue individually as a unit owner another unit owner who you feel may be threatening you and get injunctive relief that way as well. So right. There are a number of different ways that you can help yourself. One of those ways is suing, and I'd recommend you consult with an attorney look into that if it's something you truly fear.
Scott, that was very nice, very honest, but if you were really being honest, you would have told her she can get in touch with just any one of your prior girlfriends. You know, they've all got restraining orders at one point or another, right?
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. If you want to show your kids, by the way, a perfect example of how working hard can really pay off, we need to talk about Lynn Simoniak. Who is Lynn Simoniak? Many of our listeners will remember her.
My next girlfriend.
Yeah, right. Your next girlfriend is right. Many of you guys are going to remember her as the homeowner on 60 Minutes who worked so long and hard on proving that the banks were engaged in that massive robo-signing scandal.
She was the one that proved that the infamous Linda Green didn't really exist.
That's right. By the way, everybody, you're still taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. Time is just about up. But that's right, Karen. She is the one that proved that Linda Green didn't really exist. And
As Eric and I were talking about earlier, as a result of her hard work, there was a massive global settlement reached between the banks in all 50 states. And we're going to want to talk about that settlement in the future also and its ramifications on the courts. But what do you hear with Mrs. Zamozniak? Oh, God, I know I butchered that. Guess what she got for her trouble? How about $18
million? $18
million,
right? Good for her. And her hard work absolutely helped in arriving at a settlement with the banks. And I got to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, she deserves every penny. And I would guess that our listeners absolutely would agree with that statement.
Hey, Eric, you got a minute for we'll talk about this settlement right now?
Yeah, sure.
I was talking to Ralph from our office, and he does a lot of the collections work for our office with respect to foreclosures and maintenance collections and whatnot. And the big deal where the banks were, basically, I don't want to say stalling, but I'm going to say stalling.
You can say stalling.
A lot of cases in the court system was by saying in the past that they're in mediation with the homeowners and they need to delay it for that, or that there was this moratorium that everybody heard about. Now the new way that they try to stop associations from getting their money is they say that, oh, this is one of the settlements from the big federal settlement. And Ralph told me he just went and looked at the judge and says, hey, judge, I'm not a party to any settlement.
Right, right.
And the judge looked at a opposing counsel and said, do you have this settlement with you? No. Do you know the terms of it? No. So why should our case be affected by this settlement?
Right.
So
the bottom line is not only did this settlement not put any money into the hands of the associations, but it created yet another excuse for the banks to create even more delays in our court
system.
It's
what it looks like. I don't know if that's a fact, but it's what it looks like.
Go figure. The bank found a way to even delay things even more. Amazing. All right. How about we take our last call? Steve. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, reference last caller. Maybe I missed it, but can you park in a guest spot and not use your parking spot? I was curious for that response.
Well, guest spots, again, not to overstate the obvious, but guest spots are usually reserved specifically for the use of guests. Sometimes I can tell you I've seen it over the years where associations or you have communities that were built obviously without enough parking. And the board of directors in their business judgment rule, for example, or with the authority to regulate use of the common areas, they will take the guest areas or the guest parking spots and convert some of them to use by unit owners with second cars. I've seen that before. But parking situations are not, there's not the one simple answer to every one, because sometimes in associations you have spots that are deeded. Sometimes spots become simply assignable to a unit by the developer immediately and forever and always. So, again, oftentimes we got to look at the governing documents to give you an intelligent answer. We are done on this April Fool's Day with yet another edition of Condo Craze and HOAs. We look forward to speaking to everybody again next week, and we certainly look forward to seeing so many of you at the seminar, the Condo Craze Board Certification Seminar, this Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Don't forget, everybody have a great week.